Praise the Lord. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to open up God's infallible word and be able to proclaim it to God's people and those who may not yet be amongst God's people. So I do want to thank you for the honor, the privilege to be able to proclaim the word to you all this morning. And I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and I'll read all the way up to verse 14. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Hear now God's word. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This morning I want to focus on verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Let's go before the Lord and pray. Let's all pray. Holy Father, we do come before you into your presence, and we do bow down before you, for the angels bow down before you, crying, holy, holy, holy. And our God, we confess that you are a holy God, and you are worthy of our worship, and you alone are worthy, for you alone are God. And we come before you into your presence, thanking you for all that you have done for us, thanking you for giving us your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking on flesh. Thank you for dying for us, and thank you for rising from that grave that we would be saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and thank you, O blessed Holy Spirit, for coming and changing our hearts and turning us to Christ. Lord God, we do look to you this morning, and we ask that your presence would be here. We ask that the solemnity of eternity would rest upon this congregation as we come to consider these solemn truths. Father, we ask that your presence be here, your holy presence rest upon this whole congregation. And my God, we have come here for you and you alone. We have come here to hear from you and come here to see Christ. And I pray that you would decrease me as Christ increased. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be exalted and glorified in our midst. And I pray that you would give us all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Father, do a mighty work. I pray that you would work in the hearts of those under the sound of my voice today. Open their hearts to receive this word. Let them hear from you. And to this end, my God, I pray that you would fill me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with that blessed power of Pentecost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me to the uttermost. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. As we enter into another year, we're reminded that time waits for no man. It seems like just yesterday, we had stepped foot into the first day of 2016. And now here we are today, stepping into the first day of 2017. The days, the months, the years, they speed on towards eternity. Time waits for no man. And yet around this time of year, people try to slow down the clock and focus on reflections and choices. They reflect back over the past moments, whether good or bad, over this past year. The joyous times with laughter. Times of tears and sorrow. They reflect back on the choices that they made, whether they be good choices or bad choices. And then they look out ahead and begin to reflect on the choices that lie ahead of them. And most people sincerely want to make choices that will change the course of their life for the better. There are some people around this time of year that choose to stop drinking, stop smoking, choose to go to the gym, trying to become more healthy. There's people that choose a different career path for financial gain. Some people choose to start a family, get married, have kids. All of these different choices that focus around the here and now. But I want you to hear today, I want you to reflect on the greatest choice that God sets before you in this life. This is the greatest choice that the Lord Jesus Christ sets before every single person. For this choice does not focus on the physical and temporal matters of this life. This choice focuses on the eternal and spiritual matters. Your whole eternal destiny rests upon this choice that the Lord Jesus Christ sets before you this morning. And I want you to realize, as you hear this snippet of the Lord Jesus Christ's message, the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher to ever live. And he's preaching the greatest sermon that was ever preached. This sermon was so simple that children could understand the essential truths of this sermon, but yet it was so profound that the greatest Christian minds for centuries have tried to plumb the depths of it, but they have failed. The greatest preacher preaching the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. And as we look at this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching with power and authority and boldness. For at the end of the sermon, the people that were listening were astonished. They were blown away because no man had ever spoke like this before. This man was speaking with authority that was of another world. That is important for you to understand. The Lord Jesus Christ was not some soft voice, spineless preacher. He didn't stand in the pulpit mumbling and stuttering. He didn't apologize for the hard truths that he had to preach. No, he stood up and he preached with power and authority. And as we come to verse 13 of this passage, he begins to apply the truths that he's been preaching since chapter 5 to the hearts of his hearers. Two chapters laying out truths on what it means to live the Christian life in this world. And now he begins to come to the close of his sermon, and he begins to apply it to the hearts of his people. Another important lesson we learn for preachers and teachers. There are preachers and there are teachers who will preach a message or teach a message, and they break down the text. They explain the truths of the text, but they do not apply the truths intentionally and individually to the hearts of the hearers. And I want you to understand today that we are not just called to be hearers of the word, but we're called to be doers of the word. And you are not just meant to read the word, but you're called to live the word out. And therefore, it must be applied. So we learn another important lesson from the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher, as he preaches the greatest sermon ever preached. And he sets a choice before us. He sets before you the greatest choice. The greatest preacher, preaching the greatest message, the greatest sermon ever preached. And he sets before you this day the greatest choice that you will make in this life. He sets before you two entrances. The wide gate, the narrow gate, two experiences. The easy way, the hard way, and two endings. Destruction and eternal life. Two entrances, two experiences, and two endings. I want you to consider this choice this morning. And I want you to realize that you must respond to the choices. After this morning, after you hear these truths, these choices set before you, you must take action. You must make a choice. First, the two entrances. He sets before the hearers the wide gate and the narrow gate. And he gives us a great illustration. You can imagine walking up and all of a sudden you see two gates in front of you, a wide one and a narrow one. And that wide gate would be like an entrance way that's as wide as Interstate 95. Interstate 95 is wide, it's large, it's multiple lanes, and you can imagine two large metal posts on the opposite ends of those multiple lanes, marking the entranceway. And there's no cars, there's no trucks going up and down. But there are millions and millions and millions of people that are walking through this entranceway, and they're going down Interstate 95, this wide road, this wide entranceway. And he contrasts this wide entranceway with the narrow entranceway. This narrow way would be like the scepter turnstile that you go through to get on the train. It's slim, it's slender, it's narrow. Two people can't fit through at one time. Only one person, step up, put in your token, push down the metal bar, you go through. You can't take a lot of luggage or baggage with you. Only one person at a time. It's narrow. It's slim. There's a contrast. There's a difference between the two ways. And these are the two ways that Christ sets before us. And he's preaching earnestly and sincerely. And he's calling every single person to enter through the narrow gate. But what is this narrow gate? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he will be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the door. He's the entrance into eternal life. He's the way, the gate that you must enter into, you must come to in order to be saved, to have eternal life. And because he is the door, he tells you what you must do to enter in, to come into this doorway, this entranceway. When Jesus Christ came on the scene in Mark 1:15, he began his earthly ministry, preaching the gospel, powerfully preaching the gospel, and he thundered forth, repent and believe the gospel. That is the way of salvation that Christ sets before us. That is the way that you come to Jesus Christ, that you enter into Christ, that you come to Christ to be saved. You must repent and believe. Repentance and faith are the only way to come to Christ. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of life. You realize that God is the Almighty Creator and that you were made to bow down and worship Him. And you realize, you awaken to realize that you have done nothing but sin against the Almighty and the Holy God, and you deserve everlasting punishment for your sins against Him. And you realize that God has been nothing but good and gracious towards you. That it is infinite love He even sent His Son to die on the cross for you and rise from the dead, that you would be saved even though you have sinned against Him and rebelled against Him. And your heart is convicted. Your heart is broken because you realize you've sinned against God, who has been nothing but good and loving towards you. And your heart is melted and your face bathed in tears. You are broken. And you realize that in your sin, you need a Savior. And you run, you turn away from your sin, and you turn to the Savior to be forgiven of all your sin. And you come by faith, believing that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died on that cross just for you, taking the punishment you deserve. And He rose from the dead so that you would be saved. That is repentance and that is faith. And I tell you today that that is the only way to be saved. There is no other way. The Lord Jesus Christ went on to say in John 14:6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me." Christ is the only way. Salvation is only in Christ and in Christ alone. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. And my friend, that is important, because we are surrounded by many false religions on all sides. And there are a lot of people who will tell you that it really doesn't matter what you believe, because all roads lead to heaven. But I want to tell you that Jesus Himself said that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. He is not an option. I was at a prayer vigil not too long ago, and there were family members who came to pay respect to a lost loved one. And some of these family members were Christians, and some of them were Muslims. So you can imagine the tension that was in the air. There was a woman there, one of the family members, trying to ease the tension that was in the air. She said, "It really doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe something, as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. Can't we all just get along here?" I want to tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ is your only hope, and He is the only way of salvation. And when you come to Him, you realize that. And for you to say that there is any other way of salvation, then my friend, you are saying that Christ died in vain, and you really don't understand Christianity, and you really have not seen the darkness of your sin, and you haven't seen your desperate need of a Savior. He is the only way to salvation. Christ, and in Christ alone. And you must come to Him and believe what He says about Himself. Away with worrying about what the world says about you. Away with worrying about people calling you a narrow-minded bigot. Away with it. Who cares what they call you? You be as narrow as the Word of God calls you to be narrow. He's the only way. And when you come to Him, there's some things that you got to leave behind, my friend. You have to leave behind worldliness. When we're born into this world, we are born with wicked hearts. We all naturally go through that wide gate. The poetic prophet Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." We all naturally follow our sinful and our wicked hearts. We go through that wide gate and we follow the ways of the world to destruction if we were left to ourselves. But there comes a day when you must be awakened and realize that you are following the crowd and the way of the world, and this way is only leading to destruction. Destruction is at the end of this path, and you are awakened and you realize that you have to leave this way. You look around you and you see millions of people walking this crowded road, and you're awakened to see you got to leave this way and you got to go to Christ. And so you intentionally break ways, you separate from the world and the ways of the world. I want you to realize you cannot claim to be a Christian. You cannot say that you have come to Christ and yet you are still walking hand in hand with the world, living like the world and acting like the world. When you come to Christ, there are things that are going to be changed about you. No longer can you live the same way that you used to live. No longer can you act the same way you used to act. Go to the same places you used to go to. There's going to be a change. When you come to Christ, you leave the world behind. And not only do you leave behind worldliness, but you must leave behind your sin. You must be broken over your sin and turn away from your sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to repentance. And my, how this goes against the popular preaching of today. Preachers don't want to preach on repentance today. How many preachers call you to come to Jesus, but they say nothing about your sin? They say nothing about you quitting your sin. And they make Jesus nothing more than a little addition to a selfish sinner's life. Just sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on top of your life. Come to Jesus. He loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Come to Jesus and He's going to help you chase your dreams. Oh boy, come to Jesus. You'll never be disappointed again. Come to Jesus. He loves you. And He wants to help you do everything that you want to do. And they say nothing about you being convicted of your sin, nothing about you being broken over your sin, and nothing about you quitting your sin. My friend, they are deceiving people. That is not the gospel. Jesus Christ calls you to leave behind your sin, to die to self, to put off the old man. Oh, yes, you must leave behind your sin. And finally, He calls you to leave behind yourself. Not only is the way narrow, but the ceiling is low, and there's a sign above it that says, "Leave the old self outside." Those who are proud and arrogant and elevated in their thoughts about themselves cannot enter in, because you got to stoop down to enter in. Stoop down into humility to enter in. Humility. That's what Jesus started this whole message with. Matthew 5 verse 3. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The poor in spirit are those who have been broken over their sin, and they have been humbled under their sin before a living God and before a holy God. And in the presence of a living God, they realize their nothingness and they are broken. And Jesus Christ starts with humility, because that's the first step into Christianity. And that's the first step into coming to Christ. You humble yourself. You put off the old man. You die to self to come to Him. And He reigns over your life. You leave behind worldliness, sin, and self. And it's hard for the natural sinful man to leave behind these things. Oh, we hate it. We kick and we scream. We don't want to leave behind these things because we naturally love ourselves and think we're the center of the universe and everything revolves around us. It's hard to leave behind these things. Notice he said, few there be that find it. Few that find this narrow gate. That word find implies you must seek it. You must intentionally seek the narrow gate. Understand me, as Jesus himself said, strive to enter in. You must seek it, intentionally strive to enter into the narrow gate. You press in earnestly and sincerely to come to Christ. It's not accidental. You do not become a Christian by accident. And you are not born a Christian. It's something that you press into intentionally and individually, you by yourself. That means you don't wait for your family and friends to become a Christian before you come to Christ. And that means you don't use that excuse talking about, oh, I don't become a Christian because there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. No, you lay aside those excuses. Because what do the fake Christians and what do your family members have to do with you being saved and you being a Christian? You got to seek it individually and intentionally. You got to strive and press in. It's hard. You got to strive to enter in. And this narrow gate is a lot different from the wide gate. The wide gate, we realize, if Christ is the narrow gate, the wide gate are those who reject Christ and refuse to come to him to be saved. And millions of people are going down, entering in this wide gate. Day by day, people enter into this wide gate. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ said many go through the wide gate. Millions upon millions of sinners going through this wide gate, rejecting Christ. They refuse to turn away from the worldliness, refuse to quit their sin, refuse to die to self, and they reject Christ and refuse to come to Christ. And many go this way. That's the wide gate. My friend, which gate have you gone through? Do you realize that by default, you have already gone through the wide gate because you were born in sin? So the question is, have you left the wide gate and the easy way? And have you come to the narrow gate? Have you come to Christ? Do you reject Christ or have you accepted Christ? That is the question, and I want every single person to answer it. Which one is it? It's one or the other. You cannot have one foot in the wide gate and one foot in the narrow gate. It doesn't work like that. It's all or nothing. Which one is it, friend? Which one is it? You be honest with yourself, for your whole eternal destiny lies on this choice. My friend, if you realize that you have not yet entered the narrow gate, then I want you to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He cries out, enter the narrow gate. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ crying out to you. Come to me and be saved. Come and enter the narrow gate. Come to me and believe. Turn away from your sin and believe in me and I will save you. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And see him with his arms wide open. Oh yes, with mercy and love and compassion in his heart. Calling out for you to come and be saved today. Today. Hear Christ calling for you today. Come to him and be saved today. Right where you sit. Right there in your pew. You realize We do a lot of traditions in church, altar calls after the message. You don't have to wait for an altar call. Right where you sit when you hear the preacher preaching, you can repent and be saved. Right where you sit, cry out to God to have mercy on your soul. Enter the narrow gate and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he set before us two entrances, but he sets before us two experiences. The easy way and the hard way. The wide gate is attached to the easy way. The narrow gate is attached to the hard way. What is the easy way? The easy way doesn't have any boundaries on it. It's wide. It doesn't have any restrictions. The easy way is the way when you don't follow the word of God, you're not restrained by listening to your conscience telling you you should be doing this instead of that. The easy way is you just doing whatever your sinful heart wants to do. And my friend, it is a dangerous way. For God himself said in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And Christ himself said that out of the heart comes adultery and sexual immorality and evil thoughts and pride. All manner of sin coming out of your heart. And when you follow your heart down through that wide gate and down that easy way, my friend, it is a dangerous road. You follow a sinful path, a sinful life, where you indulge in your sin and it's only leading you to destruction. It's the way of carelessness. You think about somebody going down a wide road, and there's all of these windows on the sides of the road. There's all of these shops, and they're running to and fro, going inside of the shops, peeking inside of the windows. So concerned with the material possessions of the world, so concerned with the temporal things of the world, that they give no time to concern about their soul or their soul's destiny. It's the way of carelessness. No concern for sin. No concern over where your soul is going to spend eternity. It's the way of entertainment. The people traveling down this easy way, there's all of these bright lights and stores and different shiny things and the trinkets of the world. All of this meant to entice them, to entertain them. Come, all of it calling out, come as they walk down the narrow, the wide way. Come, come into the bars, come into the clubs, come. You hear the music and the laughter and the fun and all of that, all of the entertainment coming on, going on. Come and partake of it all along the easy way. And all of it meant to entice people, trying to fulfill their desire for enjoyment that only God can give them. And not only is it the way of entertainment, it's the way of opportunity. There's all of these advertisements on this easy way. There's all of these billboards on this easy way. Come and do this. Come and do that. Come and make this career move. Come and make that career move. Come and make more money. Come and travel the world. All of these opportunities. And what is it designed to do? It's meant to distract you, so you don't consider the way that you are walking and the end that is coming for you. And not only is the world distracting you on the easy way, but the devil himself is distracting you on the easy way. Do you realize that the devil has a rope around your neck on the easy way, leading you by a leash? You think you're free, but you're on a leash. And the devil is leading you to that pit of destruction. And he's distracting you, whispering lies into your ears,
Children, do you see how the devil tries to come and distract you? You don't need to repent and believe now. You're young. You got your whole life in front of you. Why don't you go and rebel against all of this religion? Rebel against mommy and daddy and go out and taste the sin of the world. You can always come back and come to Christ if you want. That is the lie of the devil. For it does not work like that, children. When God is speaking to you, you must respond. For God says in His Word that my Spirit will not always strive with you. You can go out there into the world and partake of the sin of the world. But I tell you, you may not find the narrow gate again. You have to respond when God calls you to respond. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. And it's not just the children or the teenagers, but for the adults. You grew up in the church. Big Mama took you to church every Sunday. You were sitting in Sunday school. You heard the gospel over and over on your cell phone texting. When is this preacher going to get done so I can get out of here and get to the real things? The devil distracting you. You don't need to believe now. You got this money to make. That Christianity is going to cramp your lifestyle. You got women to run and play. There's the drinks, there's the parties. What's the boys going to think if you become a Christian alone? Oh, the devil distracts you and says, on your deathbed, didn't the preacher say all you got to do is repent and believe? Then why don't you just wait till you're on your deathbed and you can just repent and believe and be saved? But I tell you, it doesn't work like that. You may not come to your deathbed. How many times, how many people started out in 2016 with us and they are not here in 2017 with us? And they thought they would come to their deathbed one day. They thought they would live to see old years. But my friends, they're here no longer. You know people. And even if you make it to your deathbed, God says, my Spirit will not always strive with you. You've heard the word. You've heard the gospel. Christ has been set before you. And on that deathbed, you'll lay there and the heavens will be silent and you stand condemned as the heavens are brought up towards you. And God is no longer listening to you because you had your chance. He was wrestling with you and calling for you to come and you didn't come. My friend, don't wait to the end. Don't wait. Come to Christ today. This is the easy way. There's a hard way. When you go through that narrow gate, you step foot onto the hard way. This is the way of holiness. The easy way, you just do whatever your sinful heart desires. But when you go down the hard way, the Word of God guides your steps and becomes your handrails, and you follow the Word of God. And Christ is in front of you on the hard way as your great example. And just as He is holy, He calls you to be holy. And it's not an option, for He says, strive for that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You can cheapen grace all you want, but without holiness, you will not see the Lord. And when you are saved, there is a desire inside of you to be holy. And you don't strive for holiness in order to be saved, but because you are saved, because your heart is changed, you desire to be holy. Amen. It's the way of holiness. And it involves prayer. It involves prayer. In this great sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ preached on how you must live the Christian life in this world. And in Matthew chapter 6, He comes to the great theme of prayer. And in verse 6, He says, when you pray, not if you pray. Prayer is a command. It's not an option. And for you not to pray is a sin. Prayerlessness is a sin. When you come down this hard way, it involves prayer and laboring in the place of prayer. It involves hungering and thirsting after righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." You hunger to be holy, and you fight against any sin that hinders you from being holy, because he goes on in Matthew chapter 5 and says, "You must even cut off your right hand and pluck out your right eye." He's not talking about literally, but he's saying, ferociously fight any sin that would come in the way of you being holy and pure in heart and following after Christ. You fight it and you put it to death. It's a way of holiness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. My brother, my sister, those are just a couple evidences of a person who is on the hard way. If that is not evident in you, then you are not on the hard way. And you have never gone through the narrow gate. You have never come to Christ. I don't care if you grew up in the church. I don't care if you repeated the sinner's prayer after that big name evangelist. I don't care if you got baptized. I don't care if you teach Sunday school. I don't care if you're a minister or preacher some way. If those evidences are not in your life, then you are not on the narrow way. My friend, you are lost. You're not a Christian. And I want you to understand that today, where you stand before Almighty God. For I have not come here to tickle your ears. But I want you to know today, where you stand before God, the Holy Jehovah, the Great I Am, the Living God. I want you to know where you stand before Him today. You're either in or you're out. You're either saved or you're lost. Why is this the hard way? Because there is much persecution on this way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Jesus says this: "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." My brothers, my sisters, the world hated Christ. And when you follow Him, they're going to hate you. "And woe unto you when all men speak well of you." The Lord Jesus Christ suffered persecution Himself. His own family members said He was crazy. His closest disciples abandoned Him in His darkest hour when He needed them the most. And the world put Him to death because of their hatred towards Him. And when you come to Christ, the world is no longer your friend. But they put a target on your head, and you are the enemy of the state. The world will hate you, even your family and your friends, your nearest and dearest, your loved ones who said they would always be there with you and they would always be there for you. You have to face criticism and misunderstanding because you don't do the same things you used to do and you don't go to the same places you used to go. And so no longer do they understand you. "Something's wrong with you," they say. "You're acting weird. You joined the cult or something. You're boring. You're old fashioned." Criticism, misunderstanding, persecution in subtle ways. And you may even be called to lay down your life. For there are some of you, when you come to Christ to be saved, there will be people that you know who will try to put you to death. This is going on in the Middle East. People are still dying for coming to Christ, if you haven't realized that. I won't labor that point. There's temptation along the way. That's why it's hard. In this sermon, Christ is preaching against different temptations, lust, anger, different temptations that people face along the way. All of these temptations seek to ensnare you along the way. And you know what I'm talking about. You come to Christ and you decide to follow Christ. And all of a sudden, that man or that woman that you used to mess with years ago, all of a sudden texts you. I miss you. Just thinking about you. LOL. Smiley face. Winky face. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Temptations. The old gang, the guys, the fellas, hitting you up. We haven't seen you in a while. Come on out, Friday night, Saturday night, like we used to. Let's tear up the town. Let's go out and drink. Come on. Temptation in all shapes and forms. And finally, not only temptation, but tribulation. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer many things. And he was going to be killed and raised up on the third day. And in verse 24, he calls his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, deny themselves and follow him in this life of tribulation and suffering. You will suffer in this life. Which way are you on, my friend? Which way are you on? Are you on the easy way? Or are you on the hard way? Which way, my friend? I want you to realize what is to come for you. As I close the message, not only are there two experiences, but there's two endings. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says that the easy way ends in destruction. Do you realize that today, sinner friend? That the way you are traveling, the way of sinfulness and the way of wickedness, is only going to end in destruction. Do you see what's in front of you, my friend, my sinner friend? Do you see it? Do you see that large fiery pit that's in front of you? Do you see it? Open your eyes and see it. It's in front of you. That large bottomless pit with the flames of pain and torment comes coming up, ready to consume you, ready to swallow you up when you get to the end of life's journey. Do you see it, my friend? Do you see it? Because it's waiting for you. And we have just come into another year. And I want you to realize that every year and every day, every moment, every heartbeat, you are coming closer and closer to the end. Do you see it, my friend? Do you see it? Do you see the pain and the torment that you are going to experience forever and ever, an eternal damnation and destruction? And can you hear the cries of the damned in that bottomless pit called hell? That's the way that's waiting for you. Destruction. Turn away from it. Turn away from that easy way. It's only leading you to damnation and destruction. Awaken, sinner friend. Awaken and see what awaits you. And realize that there is a loving Savior who has died for you. And he opens up his arm in mercy today. And he calls you to come into the narrow gate. Come to me and be saved today. Believe in me. Turn away from your sin and believe in me and be saved and forgiven. My friend, I plead with you. Awaken today. Awaken today. Children, teenagers, wake up today. adults who have heard this message over and over and over again. Awaken today and come to Christ and be saved. The Spirit of God will not always strive for it with you. You hear the message today, and the presence of God is upon you, and the Holy Spirit working inside of your heart, and God is calling you to come to Christ and believe in the Lord Jesus today and be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Awaken and come to Christ today and be saved. And for you false professors, you hypocrites, you show no evidence that you are on the hard way, that you have gone through the narrow gate. Awaken today and come to Christ and be saved. Saved. Changed in your heart from the inside. That will lead to a change in your life. And finally, I close with this. My brothers and sisters who are in the faith, I realize that the way gets hard at times. And there is suffering that you go through. For I have already set before you the Lord Jesus Christ Himself saying that the way is hard. I realize that there's times when the storms of life are raging against you. And the wind is blowing and seems to toss your life upside down. And the rain continues to beat upon you. And you don't know when it will end. But I want to tell you today that this way is worth it. For the Lord Jesus Himself is a close companion on this way. And He's a faithful friend. He will be there with you. I promise you, on this hard way, He will be there with you. In the midnight hour, when you cry those tears to God, Jesus will be there. And in those times where this life journey leads you down the valleys of darkness, Jesus will be there, my friend. I know He will. And in those times when you think that nobody understands you, nobody cares, Jesus will be there. His heart filled with compassion and understanding, for He suffered far greater than you ever will. Jesus will be there, and it's all worth it. I hear Him saying, it's all worth it. My son, my daughter, drive on. Walk on with Jesus. Walk on. And not only is He a faithful friend along the hard way, but notice He sets eternal life before you. He cracks open just a little bit the gate of heaven to give you a glimpse inside, to give you hope for a brighter day. And so, my brother, my sister, cheer up, cheer up. I know that you face much suffering and many trials and tribulations on this way. I'm on the journey with you, and I know that it gets hard at times, but the Lord Jesus Christ sets before you heaven, and He's leading you to glory. And there's a day coming, a brighter day, when there will be no more darkness and no more depression and no more despair in that land of sunshine and light and joy and happiness and peace. And we will dwell with God forever and ever. He will be our God and we will be His people. And all things will be made new. Not just a new year, but my friends, a new heavens and a new earth. And everything will be made new and everything will be made right. It's all worth it. I hear the Lord Jesus saying, it's all worth it, my friend. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. 5 minutes inside of heaven. It's all worth it, my friend. Yes. Yes, the Lord Jesus is with you, and heaven is to be gained, and every trial and every tribulation will be worth it, my friend. Walk on. Walk on, my brother. Walk on, my sister, with strength and courage with Jesus. Walk on to eternal life. It's worth it. It's worth it. Praise God. Praise God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Oh yes. There's a day coming where we're going to dwell with Him forever and ever.
And he will bind up your broken and your weary heart. He'll bind it up. And every scar, every wound will be worth it. Because it calls you to follow Christ to eternal life. There's a brighter day coming. The way may be hard now, but it's bound to smooth out. There's a brighter day coming. Oh, yes. Oh, there's a brighter day coming. Believe. Believe. Oh, believe. Oh, God, believe. Worship Him. Worship your Savior. Worship your loving, your gracious, your merciful Savior. It's worth it. Amen. Let's pray. Let's all pray. In a moment, I'm going to close this meeting with prayer. Sinner friend, I spoke some hard truths to you today that call you to respond. If you're here and you're saved, pray right now for those who are not. Sinner friend, I set before you life and death, two choices, and God has spoken to you today to come to Christ and be saved. Where are you, sinner friend? Where are you? You need to be saved today. You need to turn away from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins and rose from the grave, and you will be saved. Right where you sit, you can cry out to Him to forgive you of your sinful ways. You can look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and believe and be forgiven of all of your sins right where you sit. Your soul can be saved today and you can have eternal life in heaven. If you need to speak to somebody after I close the meeting, I'm going to be up front. I want to speak to you. I want to help you. I want to point your soul to Christ. So you can be saved. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we look to you and we thank you so much for the blessed hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that eternal life is ours and we can look forward to glory where we will dwell with you forever and ever. And my God, I pray for those who do not yet know this hope. I plead with you for those who are not saved. My God, have mercy. Have mercy on the lost this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up their hearts and change their hearts, awaken them to see their sin and be broken over their sin, and lead them away from that sinful life and lead them to Christ to be saved. Oh God, save sinners today. Do a mighty work today of salvation. And let all of heaven rejoice with one sinner, with many sinners being saved today. Almighty God, we ask that you would do it for your glory and for your honor. And I pray, my God, that you would strengthen the saints this morning. Those who are weary, those who need to be encouraged, strengthen them, Holy Ghost, strengthen them. Lift up their heads in hope. Lift their eyes to see glory that awaits them. Let them believe with renewed faith and strength on this new year. My God, put zeal and passion, fire inside of their walk with you. Let them see you, Lord Jesus, in all of your glory and all of your majesty. And let them follow after you. Oh, yes, let them follow after you to that life everlasting, glory that is to come, that heavenly home. Father, keep your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you.